It is time to bring in Jim Lynch and cover your assets. Jim, an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, bringing just a lot of experience in those subjects and more. Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
And good morning to you and all about you. I hope you're having a great day.
So far.
Radio Land.
So far.
So far.
So far. So good. Okay, so something that's predominating, or dominating rather, the news media and commentary is a new book called A Stable Genius by Phil Rucker and his co-author. I hope I pronounce her name correctly, L-E-O-N-I-D-E-S. Actually, she's a well-known person at the Post, the Washington Post. And A Stable Genius is sourced by about 200 people within and without the Trump administration. And it gives clearly a, through example, some of the behavior of the president during the last several years. It is not complimentary, and it indicates the president does have a lot of problems articulating, assimilating information, being decent to other human beings. But before you run out and get the book, particularly if you're a Trump person, you should listen to these sources who are very clear, very well-versed in their topic, very believable, and then I strongly suggest you get the book. It will be a book that will be on people's bookshelves for a long, long time. It's interesting because, as I mentioned to my very good colleague, I don't recall any president having all of the books that have been written about Trump written in the first 3 years of their administration. In fact, as I was reminded, the way we used to write books about presidents was a fellow named Robert Cairo, who actually did, I guess, one of the first ones years ago. And they were done in a very even-handed way because the office of president in years past was occupied by people who were pretty stable and doing their best and making their share of mistakes and maybe even a corruption and graft in the process, but not too much. But now, because of what has happened here, President Trump has basically stimulated people to go and get the information they need because people are very fearful of what is going on in terms of the vindication and the revenge that this president seeks of all his enemies, be they in politics or outside of politics, be they in the press or whatever. For instance, there's an article today regarding the DOJ where somebody within the DOJ basically threatened two employees because they had done the wrong things in terms of giving out information. You also might be aware that the intel community has been stopped from going forward at any pace to get Congress the legally gained access they can to files, which will indicate a lot of things about this whole crisis in terms of pay for play. In other words, the president saying, hey, you'll get that if you give me this. Anyhow, the most important thing is read the book. And there'll be a lot of excerpts out. But I'd go beyond the excerpts because these two people, the two writers, the authors, were both Pulitzer Prize winners. They know their stuff, and you'll be very, very well informed. Moving from that for a minute to Tucker Carlson of Fox News, Tucker actually uses the latest Pew report, which shows on the economy that there are many, many people who feel that they've not, N-O-T, they've not prospered in this tax cut-driven stock market. One, they're not in a stock market. Two, their wages haven't arisen much, if at all. Three, the cost of health care and other services have gone up. So the middle class, as we knew, we all knew, we were watching it, they're not really prospering. And Tucker Carlson, who is a great protagonist for the president and the Republican Party, he indicates his concern that this might give the Republicans problems in the upcoming election. That said, the stock market is due to open up down about 100. The president is in Davos, where he is again saying, okay, America first, all of you other nations should get behind that aspect. And it's wonderful he's saying that, but the allies are not going to get behind him. He's also coming out castigating once again people who want something done about climate change. And he's losing his audience abroad, which is very dangerous economically and probably militarily. Folks, if you are a doubter on this climate crisis, well, God bless you. I hope you're living in a place that will never be impacted by it. But if you look at the world, every place is being impacted. And I turn it back to the distinguished Gillian Marshall.
Well, when we talk about you started talking about the president and the books written about him. Here's the problem that we now face in this country. There is so much that goes on in Washington that is so gone over every day, not only by the president, the vice president, the speaker of the House, the leader of the Senate, Congress people, and United States senators. Look at the people that have resigned in the past, I'll say 5 to 6 years, from the House and the Senate, and the stories that come out about them. We have a crisis in Washington, and it is a crisis of confidence, but that crisis of confidence stops there. It doesn't seem to be that people see a crisis in the quality of individuals that are getting elected to office and their backgrounds. Yes, we've always had political people in there taking advantage of the system itself, gaming the system. It's part of the system, unfortunately. But what we've never had is the full amount of senators and congresspeople breaking the law, actually breaking the law and having to cut deals to leave office. I mean, and it is almost, if it were a disease, what would we call it if it were a disease? It's unimaginable that the ones that are caught are the only ones that are doing it. We as a country, have to send better people to Washington. And I'm not talking about Republican or Democrat. I'm not talking about conservative or liberal. I'm talking about better people, better individuals, people that you know something about in the past, their lives for the past 30 years. We used to send our friends and neighbors to the House and to the Senate. And it's not that way now. And the culture of running for president, there's so much money involved in this now. Everything in politics revolves around money. And that's a dangerous thing. That's where we can't. It used to revolve about serving your country and doing your service to the country by giving up 2, 4, or 6 years. Now it's all about
it's
money.
It's a career and it's an industry.
And it's
what is really fascinating at this moment is, and this is just driving me insane, and this goes back to the New York Times genius endorsement yesterday or Sunday, that's my opinion. The number of people that are being, the number of voters that are being fought, basically, billions of dollars are being spent to fight over 33% or 36%, give or take, of the electorate. And that's just stupid. You couldn't run a business like that if you, I mean, you can run a business, but you will fail. And I just, it is baffling to me. So of that 36%, whatever, 18%, they're all enraged, and the other 18% is, you know, people can't even listen to one another. And it completely ignores a vast swath of people who are out there and who are going to vote. And so I just really, when people are using their own brain cells to think about what's going on, it might be intelligent to widen their lens a little bit, their mental, because what you are being told really is, it's not 70-80%. It's really being fought. This whole nonsense is over 30-some-odd%. And I'm not talking about the base. I'm talking about I'm talking about who the New York Times is playing to. I really am, because it's just insane. And it's so imbalanced and so whacked and has really affected the attitude, the mood, the can-do-itness, the inspiration, the ambition of a bunch of people. It's just amazing.
Back to Marshall's point in terms of sending people to office, I think the key is to find out if they are principled people. And that's done in a vetting process, which basically looks at their history, looks at what they've done in their communal life, looks at what they've done maybe in state legislatures before they run for office. And I guess the key going forward, if we're going to get ourselves back together as a people and prosper again as a people, not just monetarily, but in quality of life and in living our lives truthfully, we're going to have to get people in who want to serve. They don't want to come in just to make money and to be in office for as long as they can to get money. And that requires thought, and it requires research. But now, one of the problems we have to deal with is we passed laws that allowed very wealthy people to contribute as much as they wanted to candidates, and more importantly, we've allowed loopholes for them to use corporations that are not readily discernible in terms of who they're giving money to, be it a PAC or otherwise. That's your point, Jill, in terms of the New York Times.
Well, before we do that,
yes.
What I wanted to say, for example, the Connecticut 5th District, all right?
Go ahead.
Terrific, as far as I can tell, a terrific rep. Terrific. Marshall, would you agree? 5th District?
As a freshman, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You hear anything about her? Jim, can you name her?
Who? Which one? I'm sorry.
Connecticut 5th District. And the reason I'm saying
Johanna
this...
Hayes. She was a school teacher that won an upset primary and then won to be the Democratic representative, and she won the general election in the Congress. And she's turned out. She's up in our neck of the woods all the time. She serves her district really, really well. And she's just been an outstanding first-term
congresswoman.
And the reason
that I mention it is because there are several people. They don't get press. They're not supposed to. You don't hear about them. But they're there, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that really goes back to my point, because there are, in fact, a bunch of people out there. Now, look, life is so not perfect, and you can't go an inch and a half without some sort of idiotic something. So don't think that I've taken a Pollyanna pill. But there are still a bunch of people who go, I say this all the time, they go to work, they show up. There is such, people couldn't do their lives if the people who show up didn't show up. And
I don't think you're being Pollyanna at all. I think you're bringing this person up is very key to our getting more information.
But what?
And people who are listening to you, Jill, now should understand who this person is.
But they.
And in various ways championing that person. Go ahead.
what I'm trying to say is the people who know who that person is are the ones who are being served by her. You're just not, you, for example, are not hearing about her on TV. You. And this is the problem, because people are consuming news that doesn't include the people who are actually doing their jobs. And that is my
Correct.
Daily frustration. But there are actually
people. It also gets back to the point that this person probably doesn't have a lot of money to be spent on PR, hobnobbing with the folks in the media and getting more representation on a television or radio. Now, the real point is this person probably doesn't feel they need that. They want to serve.
Yeah, exactly.
However,
she doesn't want
it's up to the community to somehow get out to adjacent communities what this person is doing. I think you people in Connecticut are blessed with a guy named Senator Murphy, who I don't know when the man ever sleeps, but he knows he's right on the ball. He's out there. He's a fighter. You should be very proud of him, as you should Mr. Blumenthal. So Connecticut is really blessed with some great people. Now, those two, I know, I can see their faces. I know them so well, because I've viewed their speeches and commentary and question and answer quite many times. Conceivably, we need a grassroots movement to elevate the person you're talking about, Jill, to a point where there are roundtables that are going to more and more include those kinds of people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I respectfully disagree. I think that she should just keep doing her job, and when she comes up for election, she'll be reelected. And as the business goes, because she's doing, she's doing competently, blah, 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 things will develop, and you will start to hear about her. Just because you have to come up. People don't know anymore. You've got to come up. The people that you're seeing on TV, well, maybe they don't understand the notion of putting in their time. And there's another great Connecticut Congresswoman, Rosa DeLauro. Now, she's been there for a long, long time, and she's I don't know which district she is. It's down. It's more Fairfield-y, Westport-y, I think-y, or I'll look it up. But she's another one, and she's a hard worker, and she is very much part of a functioning Congress. And again, my only point, my only point is that there are a lot of people there that no one, when I say no one, that from a national standpoint, you're not hearing about every night on either your three preferred political cable news whatevers. And you're not hearing that. It's not that people don't know who they are. It's just that they don't fit the gurgle that's being constantly foisted upon people as politics. That's all. Actual politics, like watching, televising politics, like watching paint dry.
Well, we only have 2 minutes left, so we can't let paint dry. We have to let Jim wrap up the show.
All right.
Well, I've got my paintbrush out, and I'm wondering, in light of what you've said, Chris, Jill, I'm wondering if maybe you folks might want to start profiling some of your local people who are deserving of it with little interviews and get some ads or something going that gets the greater Connecticut area more intense on listening to it. You do podcasts, so they'll be available. But, I mean, you're really right on. You're really right on. You're right into the grassroots of what's necessary to get us going as a country. So I just pose that as a possibility. As it is, you've done your community an incredible service in raising this, not only this individual, but individuals generally. And anyhow, let me think about it. I don't know if I have any great ideas on it, but I'd love to see you do some more work, as you just did on this show. in articulating, in interviewing, and in getting this out to the people, and to getting them interested, the populace interested in not only knowing about this person, but talking about this person.
All right.
Anyhow, in terms of this impeachment, read your Constitution. Remember that the people on television who are advocating one thing or another, particularly lawyers, you got to get beyond them. You got to get to your common sense. If I go into a bank and say, hey, I won't shoot you if you give me the money, and I leave, then I have some lame excuse for why I'm not guilty. This is really what happened here between President Trump and Ukraine and so forth. It's a common sense issue. Don't let the so-called experts distract you from that.
All right.
Now,
we're out of time.
Now, I was saying Mahomes.
Okay.
Mahomes.
Go
something
Casey.
To look forward to.
All right.
It's not all politics. We're going to have some fun.
All right, Jim.
All right. Good to hear you.
Take care.
Bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.